Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Houston standing by, over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He is Joe. I am Jeremy. We are Jeremy and Joe. Wednesday edition of the program. No CJ Stroud this weekend. I broke this news yesterday, and no one's giving me credit about it. Kind of annoying me. I broke this news yesterday, and no one's citing me, Joe.
No, Jeremy Branham broke the news. Jeremy Branham said first, CJ Stroud out this weekend.
Pretty much. I pretty much said those words. D'Amico does his...
Accurate?
It is. Yeah, it is accurate. D'Amico had some good stuff at his press conference today. He was scoffing all over the place at the media. And we know... You know what you're going to get with Jeremy and Joe when it comes to D'Amico? You're going to get to scoffs.
Scoff watch?
You're going to get to... He had two in the same answer. He scoffed DJ twice. He didn't scoff Will Kunkel.
But man.
But he rolled his eyes and gave him a death stare.
Yeah, he gave him a look that could kill.
And he also scoffed Jonathan Alexander's question about the trade deadline. And if him and Nick are on the same page. And he scoffed at that. So we'll listen to some D'Amico a little bit later. Nick Caserio does a weekly hit with Rock and Roll and John Harris on Texans All Access, I think they call it. They post, I don't know what they call it, but it's on their YouTube channel. It's on the Houston Texans YouTube channel. And I like, D'Amico does it too. That's where I actually got the news that CJ Stroud was going to not play Sunday, because D'Amico said yesterday, he said that in my time in the NFL, whenever you're in the concussion protocol, you don't play that week. So yesterday, like 24 hours ago, I tweeted, it's no surprise, but D'Amico Ryans acknowledges CJ Stroud is a long shot to play on Sunday against Jacksonville. And then whenever they all broke the news today, when D'Amico gave them the information to the press conference, zero citation to your boy. Zero citation. Is this like a journalism, like, breaking of the law? Should I be like, should I be going after the Jonathan Alexander, DJ Bienemy, Will Kunkel, Cody Stutes, Landry Locker, whoever the heck, Kim Davis, Sarge? Should I be going after all of them and be like, I had it first?
Probably. Just because.
Go hashtag Branham.
Hashtag Branham first.
This is why I don't identify as a journalist.
I mean, we saw it happen. I don't know if you saw this yesterday, but there was one interaction. Someone tweeted about Josina Anderson not breaking a story first and saying like she would like jump on second on the bandwagon. Did not tag her in it.
What?
And then she went and replied to it. And was like,
she did?
She's like, well, I actually broke it first.
How do you feel about people who don't like citing the question asker with a coach answer? Like, you know, there are press conferences, all these reporters are asking coaches questions, and then like aggregating the answer, but not giving credit to the person who asked the question.
I don't think that's how this works.
I think it's kind of ridiculous.
Also, for the Houston media that gets upset about that, then complain to the teams about getting microphones so we could hear who asked the question.
It's a good point.
It's like, yeah, we can't normally hear.
I've seen some people get upset though whenever like, oh, you didn't give me credit for asking that question that led to that answer.
I've seen that also.
Yeah, that's not what we do.
No, that's not how that works.
It's not how journalism works. Maybe a journalism school would have taught you that.
D'Amico also kind of said the opposite about Titus Howard today, because he said Titus Howard might still play this weekend.
Yeah, but linemen are dumb.
So, okay, makes sense.
You need a cerebral quarterback that's on his P's and Q's to play the quarterback position. You got to go through progressions. Yep. You got to make checks at the line.
Yep.
You got to be identified post-snap.
I mean, hit the guy in front of you.
All offensive linemen do is block.
Yeah, hit the
they
guy
just
in front
get in
of
the
you,
way.
Push him forward or maybe push him backwards. You know, don't let him hit the quarterback. pretty simple, straightforward.
Yeah, we're being very disrespectful to offensive linemen. That's not, I mean, offensive, it's actually a very sophisticated position. You got to know which way to go, inside leverage, outside leverage, depending on the front that you're seeing, depending on the rush that you're getting. It's just a it's almost as sophisticated as the quarterback position. We're having fun. I don't need 350-pound men chasing me down. We understand it's a very cerebral, sophisticated position as well. We're just having fun with you dummies. Just having fun with you dummies. But this is why I don't identify as a journalist, Joe. They don't give credit to another established member of the Houston media that broke a story.
Yeah.
I had it 23 hours ago, and then now they're circulating it around with zero citation. Can you sue for this? Is this slander?
No, no.
Is this libel?
Unfortunately,
is
not.
Is this plagiarism?
Could be that.
I plagiarized you. I plagiarized the Houston Texans YouTube. I did give them credit, though, to my fairness, for the interest of what's fair for me.
Sure.
I gave Houston Texans YouTube channel the credit whenever I posted the video. I put it in parentheses and everything. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen one journalist out there. This is why we don't take journalism seriously anymore. It's not because they're too biased to the left. It's not because they're too biased to the right. We don't take journalists serious anymore because they don't give proper citation to your boy.
And they better start, or we're gonna come after them.
I'm coming.
And we've seen it before. You've gone after the offensive lineman for not protecting CJ Stroud.
I call it like it is. I don't care who's coming at me.
And now we have to go after them for not crediting you.
It's unfair. It's unjust.
It's not fair.
Some would say. And I am a maverick for justice.
Be better.
I'm a maverick for journalistic justice, and right now we're not seeing journalistic justice. In fact, we're seeing a bunch of people spit in the face of journalistic justice. And it makes me sick. But yeah, enough about me. CJ Stroud's not going to play on Sunday.
He's not going to play.
He's not going to play. But we told you this yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, your second best player is not going to play. It's really tough.
Kaimi?
Well, your first player. That's your first player.
That's your first best player?
Yeah.
He's your leading point scorer.
Yeah, they're it's not great, Jeremy.
Yeah, but you were blaming Kaimi yesterday.
No, I was just saying if you went 6-for-6, it's a different game.
I asked you, Joe, is it fair to blame Kaimi Fairbairn? You said yes.
Yes, it is a little bit.
There you go.
I mean, he's got to make them. And now you're going to miss him.
Yeah. He's out. Who else is going to be? Titus Howard's questionable.
Sounds like Nick Chubb might not play this weekend.
Okay.
So
no big deal there.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what I was going to say about Caserio doing his little like rock and roll J.H. hit. So it's the day after the deadline. And I know that this was recorded after the deadline passed. I know it was recorded after the deadline passed. You want to know how I know? Because John Harris asked him what it's going to look like with Jacoby Myers on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mm. So there you go. Information. When was this thing recorded? Because podcast recorded a bunch of different times. But you can always gather information, timeline it, you know, play a little detective, introduce it to Discovery, and figure it out. So J.H., John Harris, asked Caserio, like, how's Jacksonville going to look with Jacoby Myers? So we know that this is probably post-deadline. Jacoby Myers wasn't at the wire, but I can't imagine that Caserio was filming and recording a podcast between the time that Jacoby Myers was traded to Jacksonville and the trade deadline.
Yes.
I think that would be a very terrible use of that window of time. Although Nick Caserio doesn't know what windows are, so can't put it past him.
So you're saying he didn't know when the window was to make a deadline move.
He might not have.
Like, yeah. He thought it was maybe 3:00 today.
Well, I don't think that was the case. I think he knew when the deadline was. I know for a fact that Nick Caserio recorded his interview on Texans All Access after Jacoby Myers was traded to Jacksonville. I'm going to assume, and you know what happens whenever you assume, but I'm going to assume that it was not in the window of time between the time Jacoby Myers was traded to Jacksonville and the actual NFL trade deadline.
Fair assumption.
I'm going to make that assumption, Fair. But I want to admit that it's an assumption. I don't know that for sure. I don't know that to be a guarantee. But Caserio did 27 minutes with those guys and was not asked about the trade deadline once.
Oh, really?
Not once.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. And I don't blame Rock and Roll. I don't blame Harris. They get their check signed by the Houston Texans. We know how that game is played. But I wonder, and this is a major assumption, I wonder if maybe Caserio's like, hey, don't ask me about the deadline.
Like, please don't ask.
Hey, don't ask about the deadline. Let's not talk about that. Because how do you interview your general manager, only public, you know, words from the general manager post-trade deadline, and he filled zero questions about the deadline? I feel like I know the business a little bit. That might have been one where, like, hey, don't ask me about the deadline.
Yeah, I don't like that. You got to ask. You got to get some kind of answer. I mean, what D'Amico said today, they tried. Just nothing happened. That's an answer. That's fine if that's what Nick Caserio wants to say. Unless, you know, he was going to say something different.
Or maybe they weren't aligned. Maybe there wasn't alignment within the ownership. Like, it's just weird to me. Look, Casario not making a trade at the deadline, 3-5. Like, we feel some sort of way about it. You probably feel some sort of way about it, listening wherever you may be listening from. And we're going to have our differences of opinions. Mm-hmm. That's fine. That's the beauty of sports and just conversation in general. But I wonder if there's – and look, Casario, like you brought this up yesterday, like he doesn't make a lot of moves at the deadline. He's more of an offseason guy, you know, makes a lot of moves during the draft window. I need to stop using that word. Casario would be so unhappy with me. He hasn't made a ton of moves at the deadline. And, like, they are in a weird position where it's like you thought you had a roster that would compete for the playoffs. They have been close. Like, I can understand the I don't agree, but I can understand the rationale. Like, hey, we think we can make a run. I get, like, the coaches, like, they don't want to sell. I don't think it sends a great message to the locker room. So, like, I get it. Don't agree with it, but I get it. But it's weird that Casario doesn't field a question about it. And then it's also weird that DeMeco gets a little bit snappy about it today.
Yeah, it's strange. It's easy to look at that and be like, maybe they're not aligned here, or one person was told, like, hey, you're not allowed to make trades, and DeMeco wanted them to add. Because that's my guess, is that if DeMeco had his way, he would want them to add at the deadline. He wants them to add to make that playoff push. We talk about, like, during the playoffs all the time, during the playoff push in baseball. Like, the teams that make the big splash at the deadline, it adds something to the clubhouse. It helps you that team make a run. And when the teams that don't do it, but you're in playoff position, it kind of deflates your team because it, like, looks like ownership is saying, eh, we don't really believe in you.
Yeah.
So I'm not surprised that DeMeco, he's annoyed. He's annoyed with the media.
He's very annoyed with the media. We're going to play a little bit later. But it's just weird to me that he wasn't asked about the deadline. Very weird to me. And I'm not blaming Rock and Roll. I'm not blaming John. Like, they get their checks paid for by the Houston Texans. But I believe that they would have asked him about the deadline unless they were told not to ask him about the deadline.
Yeah, yes, yes. Because and your assumption's right. Like, there's no way Nick Casario is doing an interview for 27 minutes.
27 minutes.
During the trade deadline.
No.
Unless he was told you're not allowed to make trades, and then he's doing it during the deadline.
Yeah, which either way is kind of the same message.
Yes, exactly.
Kind of the same message.
Oh, don't ask me about it because we're going to pretend like it never happened.
Yeah, and like I threw that out yesterday. Like, hey, because look, owner's medal. Owner's medal. I don't know how much Cal and Hannah medal. I really have no clue. I really don't. I have no clue. But Jim Crane obviously medals. We've seen Jim Crane medal. Maybe that's all the meddling that Cal McNair does is that.
Go Texans.
He just like occasionally pops into their office. Yeah. Go Texans. And then like runs
It's always
away.
Fun to win.
He's like, hey, look at my new thumb ring. And then like runs outside. Like throws up the H to DeMeco. Swarm. And
watch me flip this burger. All right, later, guys.
Yeah. Now watch. Now, he's like George W.
Like,
Bush.
Watch if this drive. Yeah.
He walks in, he shows him the thumb ring, throws up the H, he goes, swarm, now watch me.
There's a lot of similarities between George W. Bush and Cal.
Like, now all I can think of is, like, DeMeco's got his office closed, and Cal walks up, knocks on the door. Yeah. DeMeco waves him in, and he just opens it and goes,
let's do it. Okay.
Swarm,
let's do it.
And then walks out.
No, he doesn't knock. He just pops in. He does the drive-by. He just does the pop-in, throws up the H, swarm.
I feel like Cal's a knocker.
No chance.
Yeah, because he knows, like, he didn't want people to, like, to walk in on him playing video games on the ground.
But they did.
But they did. No, they didn't. No, he was playing video games with a quarterback, and then that quarterback told his teammates about it.
Hold on, he wasn't playing with him.
I thought he was.
I thought he walked in on him.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
No, I don't think he was actually playing. Let's be very clear. We're talking about video games here.
Yes, yes.
I don't think that they were playing video games with one another. I believe that the quarterback walked in on Cal McNair playing the video games. I don't think they were playing with one another. I don't believe that to be true. But, yeah, very interesting that Casario didn't talk about the trade deadline. And then when DeMeco talked about it, he was like, we didn't get anything done. But, you know, we tried.
I'm rereading the Sage Rosenfeld
story.
Yeah,
what did he say?
He said, I walk into his office, and he's sitting on the floor. Yeah. There's no desk or anything. And there's this huge TV on the wall, and he's playing video games.
Yeah, so they weren't playing with one another.
It sounds like he was invited in.
Well, and, you know, one of the questions that I would ask is the hard-hitting journalist that I am. I don't identify as a journalist, but I can do the job. It's an easy job. Why don't we ever ask Sage why he went into Cal's office? Like, why are you going there? Like, what is the purpose at the time? Like, he's the son of the owner. Like, what are you doing? Like, were you summoned? Like, why are you going to Cal's office, I wonder?
Maybe he wanted playing time.
See, that to me is the question. Well, he's asking Cal for playing time? I think he's barking up the wrong thumb-wearing tree.
Frankly, it's not the question.
Thumb-ring-wearing
tree. What's he playing?
Nah, that's not as interesting to me.
Guitar Hero, Call of Duty. What's he playing in 2006?
That's not interesting to me.
GarageBand?
I don't care what he's playing. I want to know why Sage went to his office.
He said he's playing backyard baseball.
Oh, great call.
Backyard baseball.
That's a great call. As long as he has Pablo on his team.
Yeah, Pablo was a goat.
Yeah.
Pablo was
S tier.
Do you ever play Little League World Series, like back when you were four? There used to be a Nintendo game called Little League World Series.
I don't remember if I don't think I did. No,
the best baseball game though was Ken Griffey on SNL.
Oh yeah, no, that was a great one.
That was the GOAT.
Number one.
D'Amico getting annoyed with the media that won't even ask about the deadline while he's coaching a losing football team. Soft to Eric the Buyer. He was asked twice about the deadline. We'll listen to it a little bit later. Any legit update on Joe Mixon? So I was reading Jonathan Alexander, who does a really good job, Houston Chronicle. I think that he would probably cite me. He's probably the one media member who would. But anyways, he has his mailbag that he does. He was asked about Mixon, and Jonathan Alexander said in his mailbag, his question, Houston Chronicle, worth the sub, said that Joe Mixon sustained a serious foot injury in spring, and he said that, like he reported, Joe Mixon is not expected to play this year. I missed that first report.
Same.
Now, same. I think we all made that assumption and made that leap that he was going to miss. I mean, I remember talking about this on opening day. Like, do we expect him to play at all this season? And, you know, it was kind of 50-50. There were some people like, oh, he's going to be ready by week one. But no, Jonathan Alexander doubled down on his previous report that he's not playing this season, that he's not expected to play this season. And he had a serious injury. I think it was in April is what he said.
Interesting. I mean, I guess he's been in the building recently.
Yeah.
He was at the game.
He was like in a suite.
Like 2 weeks ago.
And he's been hanging out, like getting barbecue some places.
Yeah, I think Rock and Roll said he was in the building without a boot on as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We had a texter, and who knows if the junkies know anything, I doubt it, that said that he heard that Joe Mixon scraped his foot in a motorcycle accident.
Mm.
So, I mean, make of that what you will. We don't spread rumors here, though. Cal McNair was definitely playing bully in 2006. I have no idea what that means. Hope it's not bad.
It was a game by Rockstar. Oh, it was like Rockstar's first big game before Grand Theft Auto, I think.
Oh, I've never heard of it. Should the Texans tank the season?
No.
Huh? They're not gonna. So it's a hypothetical.
To be honest, I don't think they need to.
I mean, I think they're still gonna like get up to 8 wins.
You do?
Yeah, like I'd rather them lose the rest of their games than to win 8 games.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. It's better for draft position.
I think it's better for a lot of reasons. I think that you would get seismic change. Whatever that means, like at least offensive coordinator,
mm-hmm.
which we all think needs to happen. You're probably looking at a pretty drastic shift of the power dynamic. You might be looking at a pretty good roster shakeup, and then obviously you have as high a draft pick as you possibly could. I think it's way better for next season for the Texans to lose out than to win 8 games.
And they actually, I forgot, one of the reasons why I'm glad they didn't make any moves yesterday, I think I forgot to hit on this, but they have really good draft capital next year in terms of the picks they have from other people. That second rounder they have from Washington looks really good right now. The third rounder they have from the Giants looks really good right now. I mean, you're going to have five top 100 picks,
it looks like
this season.
The two that you cited there, so it doesn't really matter what you do.
Yeah.
You're kind of rooting against those.
But you have your own first, your own second, your own fourth. You have another Washington fourth. So you have a lot of potentially good capital this year. So the lower the pick you have, the better it is.
Our junkies are so smart. This texture and an easier schedule.
Good point.
Excellent point. That's why we always call you the most sophisticated listener base that exists in Houston sports radio. You're right. And an easier schedule. Last time you didn't tank, it worked out for the best. I mean, you didn't tank in one game. Like, you still had the second pick of the draft. It's a pretty big difference when you're talking about the 13th pick, like you currently have, in a top three pick. Like, you're citing you didn't get the first pick as opposed to the second pick. You still had a top two pick. Like, there's a big difference between 13 and 3.
Yeah, it's also, if Nick Caceres is a good GM, he's still taking C.J. Stroud 1.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so. which the reports were that he was trying to trade up for 1 for Bryce. Yeah, so that's the report, though. You can't believe all reports. All right, 713-780-3776. I will get back to the Texans a little bit later. Play the D'Amico scoffing to the media members because that's always so much fun. But when we come back, college football playoff, I didn't realize Mac Rhodes was the committee chair. I didn't know that. I know Mac personally. Mac Rhodes, the committee chair, he said some things about this college football playoff. We're going to talk about what they got wrong Joe, mine's Notre Dame.
We're going to fight.
I think they
we're going to fight.
The bias here for Notre Dame is unbelievable, but shouldn't be surprised for the Golden Domers. ESPN Houston, you can find us there on YouTube. You can find us on TikTok, ESPN975. Joe's at Joe George Radio. I'm at Jeremy Branham. On Twitter as well, at ESPN975. Joe at Joe George Radio. Brian at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. It is Jeremy and Joe on ESPN975 and ESPN925.
Well, speaking of the college football playoffs, we'll be out there at ESPN Bet and LaBerge during the college football playoffs, during the first round, the first four games, we'll be out there. We'll be out there this weekend as well. The college football playoffs, so that'd be a great time to book one of their brand new VIP fan cave sections. So you got four TVs, but you could put, so when the games are overlapping, you can have them all spread out there, or you can just pick one game. A really great setup. You got cool seating. You've got some NBA jams, some blitz out there as well. You can bring the food right to you, of course. And they got new food items coming to the menu right now. Some that are already brand new as it is. And the restaurant area is now available to all ages. So if you're bringing your family to LaBerge, they can come into the sportsbook with you and get a bite to eat as well. They've got their NBA season odds going right now. You can start to look ahead to the World Series odds where the Astros are placing right now. They are the fourth best odds to win the World Series. So if you're feeling good about the Astros next year, you can get on it right now at LaBerge in Lake Charles at ESPN Bet. Plus, you can do up to 20 leg parlays, and you can earn rewards on every wager when you use your Penn Play card. They also offer you a chance to place wagers on all of the Houston area teams. Must be 21 to bet. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
YouTube TV customers, get the sports you love on ESPN back, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Act now. Go to keepmynetworks.com to get ESPN back. Why does the committee have a love affair for Notre Dame? Like, you would think that every person in that college football committee, which is a weird group of people, but you would think that every single one of these guys is a Golden Domer. Like, do they? What is the representation here that Notre Dame? What kind of pull do they have? Is it the Catholic Church here?
What's your issue?
I mean, so much. Where do you want to start? I have an argument of how Notre Dame is overranked over a non-big name school and a big name school.
Okay, what's the non-big name school?
Louisville. First? Louisville. Why is Louisville 15 and Notre Dame is 10? Like, what is the argument here that Notre Dame should be ranked five spots better than Louisville? Notre Dame has one more loss. Let's just start there. Oh, losses don't matter. We care about the games that you lose. We care about who you lose to. We want you to lose to good football teams. Notre Dame, one of their losses was a good football team. They have a loss to Texas A&M at home, by the way. I think that should matter. They lost at home against A&M, third-ranked team in the country. Some people think they should be higher, whatever. There's three top teams in the country right now. So you lost to them by 1 point. Get it. Close game. But then you lost to Miami. Yep. You're like, that Miami loss doesn't look great anymore. That certainly doesn't look as good as it did 3, 4, 5 weeks ago. They're 18th in the country, so not a bad loss. But it certainly doesn't look as good as it once did. You know who Louisville beat, by the way?
Miami! Yeah.
Miami!
They beat
Louisville
Miami.
Louisville beat the team that Notre Dame lost to in Miami, yet Louisville was five spots below them. And then, you're not saying Louisville's lost, Branham. You got to say Louisville's lost. Louisville's loss was 14th-ranked Virginia, who's better ranked than 18th-ranked Miami. The committee is telling us the best ACC team in the country is Virginia. That's Louisville's own loss. They beat a team that Notre Dame lost to. Why in the world is Notre Dame not only ahead of Louisville, but five spots in front of them?
Okay, so I think the first part's this is you have to go through all these losses. The Miami one, I'm surprised Miami's as low as they are because they beat Notre Dame. I know that they've lost to two top 15 teams in the country.
Who?
Miami.
No, they haven't.
Yeah.
He's lost to SMU.
Oh, no, SMU's not ranked. I forgot. I was thinking about last year. But you have Virginia. Okay, this is the first one versus Notre Dame. It's where I think Louisville comes into play. Virginia's loss this year is to NC State, who Notre Dame beat 36-7. So that's a little bit of an edge.
Sounds like
Notre
the nine
Dame.
Degrees of Kevin Bacon. It is.
I'm just saying.
Well, you can do that with all these games because they're playing each other, like the opposite argument a lot of times can be made even when the
– But we're going to a further degree for Notre Dame. We're going to that additional
I don't think
degree.
It is. I think it's just that they
it
are
It absolutely
playing-
is a further degree. Notre Dame lost to Miami. Louisville beat Miami. That is the second degree next to a head-to-head. Head-to-head, first degree, second degree, common opponent.
I don't think so.
What do you mean you don't think so?
Not for this committee.
Well, the second degree is the common opponent.
Yeah, this committee, I think.
Yeah, Miami in this case.
What I'm seeing with this committee.
NC State also.
No, Louisville has not played NC State.
Okay, my bad.
This committee, to me, what I see.
And don't.
Is they value close losses as much as they value wins.
That's like, stupid.
That's fine. That's fine. That's why, like, because the thing that I don't like about the committee is that the standards are changing every year. And the things they said this offseason, because I think, like, you can pick on Notre Dame, fine. You just want to argue with me. That's fine. Because I'm not going to.
It's not because you like Notre Dame.
But, like,
it's because Notre Dame is overranked.
But, like, they look at, like, they said this offseason. They
just so happens you like Notre
they
Dame.
They told us that strength of schedule and all of that stuff was going to matter. But when you break it down, you look at your strength of record, strength of schedule, A&M is well above Indiana and Ohio State, but they are ranked third. So, like, the things they promised us before the season, they're not following. I don't know what their logic is.
They're selective.
Because, like, yes, I agree. Because, like, to me, Notre Dame is playing like the 10th best team in the country right now. They are playing good enough to be ranked where they are. The head-to-head stuff, I get it. I can't argue with it. They lost two games this year. If you want to make the argument that they deserve to be lower than Virginia and Louisville, that's fine. And you want to make the argument about, well, the ACC is not good? Well, a lot of Notre Dame's wins are against ACC opponents. Like, yes, they have a win over Arkansas. They have a win over Purdue. They have a win over Boise State. They have a win over USC. But their other wins are ACC games, and their upcoming games the rest of the season, except for Navy, are ACC games. The committee is saying they hate the ACC. That should be the biggest takeaway. They think the ACC is a bad football conference, and that's why the highest-ranked team is 14th.
They are saying that the ACC is a bad football conference.
They're saying it's inferior.
You're right. But how is Notre Dame number 10 whenever they lost to an ACC team? An ACC team, by the way, that is the fourth-ranked yep. ACC team in their rankings.
I know.
So, like, and I agree with your point, and you're right. The consistency here is, like, the bigger issue. But they're like, hey, the ACC is terrible. Here's why. Hey, Notre Dame lost to your fourth-ranked ACC team. Do you realize that? Oh, that's okay. They're Notre Dame. No big deal. The ACC sucks until it somehow involves Notre Dame.
Yeah.
I agree. We're going to ignore that loss. All right, you want the big brand.
Well, I'll tell you this, though. I don't think Notre Dame is going to have an easy time moving up the rankings. Like last year, they moved up even though they lost to Northern Illinois, they moved up consistently to get a home playoff game. I think they're going to struggle without chaos happening in front of them and some big blowout losses. Like, I do not think, based on what I see in front of me and based on the fact that they consider close losses important, that if Texas Tech beats BYU this weekend by a field goal, that BYU will fall behind Notre Dame.
Oh, they absolutely will.
I don't know.
I absolutely feel
like Notre Dame's kind of locked in.
No, the committee has a bias towards big-name schools.
Yeah, I mean,
like, BYU is going to be below Notre Dame.
They're moneymakers.
Sure, but when is money-making okay and when is money-making bad?
I mean, it's your entire argument for why we should go to 2014 playoff.
But it's your argument against it. So, like, you can't side it in one argument and then unside it in another.
I can. Because okay. It's Notre Dame.
All right.
Because if it was anyone else, I would agree with you. But because it's Notre Dame, oh, well.
Here's the big-name school that Notre Dame should not be ranked ahead of. And I have no allegiance to this team. I do not like this team.
Texas?
I respect this team. Do not like them. I have no ill will towards them. It's just I don't root for them. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Why in the world is Notre Dame ahead of Texas? You just told me strength of losses, okay? You just told me, well, the strength of loss, it matters that they lost to Texas A&M, the number three team in the country by 1 point at home. Texas lost by one possession at the number one team in the country. I know what you're going to say. Texas lost at Florida. You got to mention that. Okay, fine. Miami, I will give you Miami's better than Florida. Miami has a head-to-head win against Florida. Miami's ranked 18th. Florida's not ranked. They fired their coach. Okay, cool. Notre Dame's two losses collectively are better than Texas's two losses collectively. Although the one loss is better, Texas at Ohio State is a better loss. Mm-hmm. That's a thing now, as opposed to Notre Dame's loss against A&M. Marginal, but I would say slightly better because of where that game was played. Texas has two wins better than Notre Dame's best win. Texas has a win against Vanderbilt. Texas has a win against Oklahoma. What is Notre Dame's best win right now today?
USC.
Okay. USC is ranked 19th in the country. Oklahoma is 12. Vanderbilt is 16. So, yes, Notre Dame has a slightly better two losses than Texas's two losses, although Texas's best loss is better than Notre Dame's best loss. And Texas has two whole wins, two grown whole wins more than Notre Dame. How is Notre Dame ahead of Texas?
I don't know.
It's ridiculous. The committee, this is why I hate the committee. This is why I hate the whole postseason stuff, is because you have lack of consistency, strength of loss matters here, but it doesn't matter here. ACC is weak when we're talking about the conference, but then Notre Dame, when they play ACC, is not as big a deal. That's why the whole selection committee drives me crazy. I've never been a huge fan of the automatic qualifier thing, but the more and more inconsistency we see from the committee and the chair and all of this stuff makes me just want to go to a full automatic qualifier.
I understand where you're coming from, because I don't understand the Texas one either. It's and look, I'm
glad you're on
fan.
That side now. You like, scoffed at it yesterday.
I know, but like I was shocked to see Notre Dame at 10 and Texas at 11. I thought they were gonna be, I thought UT might be lower. I thought the ACC teams were gonna be higher. Like, I didn't think that
they hate the ACC.
I didn't think that we would see the projected bracket and see the 11th and 12th team ranked in the country, not in the playoff, because Memphis is not even in their top 25.
They don't have a single group of five in the top 25.
Yeah, like I was surprised by that. I mean, like, who knows where Memphis is ranked, because they don't tell us that. They could be the 35th best team in the country, according to them.
I'm guessing Jeremy will disagree with me, but there should be a caveat. Like, yes, the top group of five team gets in. But if you're not in the top 25, like I can't put
you
in.
Yeah, I disagree with that. I think every team in your league should have a chance to win its title. I fundamentally believe that.
You can if you're in the top 25.
Yeah, but that's subjective.
It is. And we're all talking about different versions of a flawed system. That's going to be flawed regardless. But
because like they are in the top 25 in the other two polls. Now, they don't matter as much, obviously, now. But like they're in the top 25 in the coaches poll. They're in the top 25 in the AP poll.
They put out a projected line for if Memphis faced this team, Memphis faced that team.
I have that.
I think it was a 20-point spread.
Yeah, line shouldn't matter.
No, but the lines
but
right
now.
But
it just points out what I'm talking about.
Memphis, as the current bracket stands, would be a 20.5-point dog to Georgia. Oregon would be a 1-point favorite versus Texas Tech. Ole Miss would be a 16.5-point favorite versus Virginia. And Notre Dame would be favored by 9.5 at BYU in the moment.
So don't
one
care.
projected close
see,
game?
The thing is, I think they do. I do think that there's people in there that have connections to Vegas. And they look at what the line would be, and I do think it helps them determine the top 25.
I think that's very stupid.
But people use it as an argument all the time.
Who do you think is the best team in the country?
Ohio State.
All right, let's just say Ohio State had its top 25 players ruled academically ineligible for the entire regular season, mm-hmm. but they're active for the postseason.
Yep.
They would be favored against every team in the country. Should they be in the playoff?
No.
I mean, it depends on what they did in the regular season, obviously, but that's why I hate the Vegas lines. The Vegas line, it's not – these teams should not be picked based on what we predict they're going to do. They should be picked based on their resume. Vegas lines predict what a team is supposed to do, and they're more accurate. I understand that, but that's not the purpose of selecting the teams. It's not a prediction market. What it is – a resume and how good your resume is compared to the other teams. And then you throw in the little caveat for the group of five because you want everybody to have a chance, which I like. I like that. I mean, you have 12 teams. You can throw a group of five in there. It's okay. It's fine.
I'm kind of with Brian a little bit. I would like to see them ranked in the top 25 to qualify, but Memphis will be. The winner of the American will be.
But I mean,
the
American's just cannibalizing itself.
Yeah. So maybe James Madison will be the team.
Was this an SEC argument?
I'm going to do that with every conference for the rest of my life. Oh, the SEC cannibalized. Yes, that's true for every conference, dude. Anytime a bad team in the conference beats a good team in the conference, what is that? What is happening? The bad team is cannibalizing the good team. It's everything. It's every conference.
I'll tell you, my biggest takeaway from this is that if you want to make the playoffs, you got to be in the top 10. Because I don't. Virginia, Louisville, these teams, they don't have the strength of schedule.
Yeah, it could be like Arizona State last year.
Yeah, like they don't have the strength the final three games of the season to me to really elevate themselves past if Texas and Oklahoma run the table. They're not going to pass those teams. Like, Georgia's not going to fall out. Alabama's not going to fall out. I think you're going to have to be in the top 10 potentially to secure a playoff spot this year. And last year, you had to be in the top 11 because Clemson got
Bama
in.
Bama was 12 but got left out.
Yeah. So, it's tough. I actually feel like yesterday was a little bit of a win for you. I just saw the first bracket, I was like,
what, it 20, makes you want 24?
No, just honestly, like if it played out exactly as is today, if somehow 1 through 12 stood the same the rest of the way.
Yeah.
And Texas and Oklahoma got left out because you had to give an auto bid to an ACC team over one of them and an auto bid to a group of five team instead of Oklahoma, that makes me hate the playoff format.
You'd rather than put in Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, I'd rather go Texas.
Pittsburgh wouldn't
that.
Be in it.
Well, I'm just looking at saying, the, sorry, 24. 24.
They wouldn't be in it.
They're ranked 24th.
Right.
Okay, but Memphis would take their spot. Okay, right. So the last team in would be Washington.
That's crazy. Because even if you expanded 24, like the group of five team could still knock out the 24th team in the country.
Yeah.
That's brutal.
Look, I mean, look at the names you're adding, though. If you expand to 24, you're adding, I mean, the brands here, Texas,
Vanderbilt,
Oklahoma,
Georgia Tech.
I mean, no, but Miami, USC, Michigan.
Yeah.
Like this tech, you talked earlier about like money. This text, the committee doesn't value anything but name recognition. Okay, let's expand to 24, and then all of a sudden you add Texas, you add Oklahoma, you add Miami, you add USC, you add Michigan. Are you not entertained? 713. People are like, and mildly, you're Jeremy, you're Joe. 713-780-3776. Are you cool with a Justin Verlander reunion? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Fast breaks, buzzer beaters, and block parties are back. And however you like to get in on all the action, you can do it on Underdog right now in Texas. This season, you can make team picks and player picks. Just download the Underdog app, sign up, and you'll get $100 in bonus entries when you make your first $5 fantasy entry. Using Underdog is easy. Just pick whether your favorite team will win or if your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats like points, rebounds, steals, and more. Plus, with Underdog's quick payouts, you can get your profits fast. So download the Underdog app today. Use promo code KILLERB, K-I-L-L-E-R-B, to score $100 in bonus entries when you make your first $5 fantasy entry. Player picks, team picks, all on Underdog.
Crypto.com predictions powered by Underdog Predict. Trading derivatives involves risk and may not be appropriate for all. For more information, visit nadex.com/rules and underdogfantasy.com/rules. For Crypto.com predictions, the term pick refers to a product traded on CDNA. Must be 18 or older and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play-and-get-terms_DFS_HTML for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
ESPN 97.5. Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
You know what they call me, Joe?
Huntington Bank Bet.
Is that accurate?
I think you added an unnecessary S there.
Did I?
I think.
Oops.
Better than Cutler, though, that hack. 713-780-3776. Chris and Humble, Notre Dame. We'll get to the Verlander stuff in a little bit. There's some meat on this college football bone. Chris and Humble, Notre Dame should be forced to be in a conference or be denied to the playoffs this.
Why?
They won't because they know Notre Dame brand wouldn't make it into the playoffs and be hurt.
That's crazy. Notre Dame beat Georgia last year in the college football playoff and beat Penn State. Like, why do they have to join a conference?
Yeah.
I don't understand. What's the point? Like, it guarantees them a spot in the conference if they win their conference championship?
I mean, it makes it fairer, I guess. Like, I mean, it's just a normal schedule, I guess, relative to the rest of college football.
Sure, yeah. I mean, because then you don't need to have a year in which you play Texas and Alabama in the same year, even though you're not in the SEC, because that's what they're going to be doing, or play Auburn and Texas. Like, man, they play. They can't predict which teams are going to fall apart. They scheduled USC for a reason. It's not their fault the USC schedule is over.
I mean, they're ranked.
Yeah.
Did you see Notre Dame's schedule next year, though?
It's not that tough next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's 2027 and beyond. It gets much more challenging, but next year is another kind of a cupcake year. I won't deny it.
I was reading something about the payouts for these teams. You know they're tiered?
Mm-hmm.
Like the SEC gets a little, the SEC and the Big Ten get like 22%. And I'm a little fuzzy with the numbers. This is kind of like about the SEC and the Big Ten's like 22% of like a team share or whatever, or a share for every team that makes it. I think it's just 22% period. It's like 22 for the SEC, 22 for the Big Ten, 18 for the ACC, 17 for the Big 12. And then Notre Dame gets like 12%. And then an additional 6% if they make it.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Notre Dame's getting a payout for the college football playoff even when they're not in it.
Yeah. Because the guy who made the system.
What is this?
Because Jack Swarbrick was the athletic director for Notre Dame, and he put this system together. He stacked it for Notre Dame.
Like, how do you get a piece of the pie if you're not even in it?
I know. It doesn't make any sense.
I guess the concession was whenever the top four teams had to be a conference champion. Maybe that was like the concession. But now they don't have that anymore. Yeah. And so like they made a concession for like a year, and then, oh, we're going to go ahead and take that away. You're still going to get your money.
And I think they always knew that it was going to play out like this. Like, I think when their former AD helped put this together, they knew that after 1 or 2 years, they were going to get rid of the auto buy system. They knew it wasn't going to last. They knew there was going to be teams like Boise and Arizona State getting buys in the first round that didn't deserve it. They knew it was going to go away.
You might be right. Geez, Jeremy, did Notre Dame reject you and Joe both? I didn't apply.
I didn't apply. I knew I couldn't get in.
I got a tier one degree, baby.
I couldn't take calc as a freshman. No chance.
You're not good at calc?
No, I'm not good at math. I'm not good at math. What makes you think I could do calc?
I didn't know you were bad at math.
Really?
I just thought it was a bit.
I'm bad at math in the moment. I panic a little bit. I get a little stage fright.
Bring back the BCS computers, right, Jeremy? No, the BCS was stupid. The BCS was a third computer rankings, a third AP poll, a third coaches poll. I don't like the BCS. Now, if you wanted to eliminate human bias by just doing like a combination of computer polls, kind of what college basketball does with the net ranking, okay, let's talk. But the BCS was dumb. BCS was worse than this. These arbitrary rankings is why I don't watch regular season college football. You're missing out. But you probably would be fond of a 2014 playoff because now you get to watch more games. Eric the Buyer, UTSA should be ranked number 2 overall. They beat Tulane, who beat Northwestern, who beat Penn State, who lost to Ohio State. So only Ohio State is better than the Roadrunners. It's a great point. That was what you were trying to do with the whole whatever thing you were doing earlier.
Yeah. I mean, look, Notre Dame deserves to be 10. I'm not going to.
Transitive property. Roadrunners number 2 in the country, baby.
My eye test says they deserve to be 10.
Your eye test. That's with Golden Domer lenses. Do you wear a Golden Domer helmet when you watch Notre Dame?
I do not.
Eye test.
I do.
We got one quality win. We're talking about eye test.
They're playing good football this year.
One quality win.
Everyone said the same thing last year about Notre Dame. So I'll say it again this year. You can trash their schedule all you want. They lost NIU. No one said they deserved to be in the playoff. And where were they last year? They're playing better football this year than they were last year. I know the Boston College game wasn't great, but they're playing good football. Yes. And they're going to play good football in the college
Bill
football
O'Brien playoff. Gave him a game with his one win Boston College team.
What's up, Trevor?
That was a game, man. That was a game.
It was. It was a game for a while.
It was like Boston College gave Notre Dame a game.
Notre Dame does have a big problem. They have a kicking problem.
Oh, really?
They had 3 kickers kick extra points or field goals against Boston College. 2 of them missed extra points, and 1 of them missed a field goal.
So they're kicking by committee?
It's not good.
Oh, yeah. Vegas lines are not set on what a team is supposed to do. They're set based on what Vegas needs to do to have 50% of the money on both sides. That's why they moved to incentivize a side that's being bet less. So teams with big names have bigger lines versus expected performance, sometimes because fans will bet them more. Yeah, I mean, you're right. But it is a bit of a prediction based on the bets they're going to get, which is kind of predictive on what that team is supposed to do. I think what I said is indirectly accurate. What you said is directly accurate. I think we're kind of saying the same thing 2 different ways. Because I do think it is very predictive based. I think it's predictive based on the sharps betting one side of it over the other. I think they're absolutely setting game lines with the mindset of, yes, 50-50, but also being accurate.
Yeah.
Because there's enough bettors who are sharps who will throw around big money where if they see a flaw on the line, boom, million bet as soon as it opens.
Yeah, I mean, they always get it right, too, it seems like.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
It's unbelievable.
They're pretty good. All right, Justin Verlander in Houston. Do you want to see that reunion? 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe, and it's ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. YouTube TV customers get the sports you love on ESPN back, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Act now. Go to keepmynetworks.com to get ESPN back.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Justin Verlander, do you want him back in Houston? Chandler Rome has a podcast. He does it with Reddick and Tyler Stafford, who you thought was not real.
I thought it was like a caller. I didn't realize this is his actual last name.
Yeah, that's his name, Tyler Stafford.
So you thought it was Tyler and Stafford.
Yeah.
Also, did I hear that commercial right? Your Rocket podcast is called Rocket Power?
Yeah, I let Mapes name it.
Rocket Powers, what y'all came up with?
Like the old cartoon.
Man, I hope that the show is better than the name.
Name and shows
Rocket
stuff.
Power.
Power ranked the three names we've had so far. Right. So Inside the Icebox. Swarmcast, and Rocket Power.
Which Inside the Icebox was not my idea. I had two ideas.
Well,
your name
wasn't FCC friendly.
Yeah, it was inappropriate.
It's a podcast.
That airs on the radio station.
Oh, yeah. I usually don't listen at that time.
That's fine.
I think Inside the Icebox was pretty good. Like, yeah. That was like a 6. Swarmcast is like a 3.
Okay.
Rocket Power is a 0.
Wow.
Rocket Power?
Bearing Mapes.
Rocket Power!
Tell Mapes.
Like, we're to the moon! Rocket Power.
We were trying to come up with one with their stupid hashtag.
That's cheesier than the things Branham Baby watches. What's next, Handyman Hal? You're going to have Miss Rachel up in there in the podcast?
You've never watched Rocket Power?
No.
I get...
That's a show?
Oh, you guys are old. That's right. I forgot.
Oh, come on.
So it's named after a childhood cartoon?
You're not really helping the
Rocket Power
here,
is an American animated TV series created by Arlene Klasky and Gabar Kusupo that aired on Nickelodeon from 1999 to 2004. The show follows four friends, Otto, Reggie, Twister, and Squid, who live in the fictional town of Ocean Shores, California, and are passionate about extreme sports like surfing and skateboarding. It features a mix of urban adventure, action, and family dynamics, capturing a late 1990s, early 2000s punk rock culture.
Oh, my God.
Auto Rocket, the show's Rocket Boy.
He's still going.
Who's a loyal friend skilled in all sports. His brother or sister is Reggie Rocket. Maurice Twister Rodriguez is a videographer and a daredevil. And then Sam Squid Dullard, more timid but smart and courageous member of the group. Rocket Power!
All right, as always, the texters are on my side.
Really?
Yeah, Rocket Power is a good name.
Is it?
That's what the texter says.
So you're trying to come up with a name with the hashtag that
all
they
fire?
Have all fire.
That wasn't going to work.
All fire cast.
No, that's not good either.
Oh,
is it better than Rocket
goodness.
Power, though?
No, Rocket Power is better.
Woogity, 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 Rocket Power? I mean, I wouldn't know. I don't watch the show.
That's something they would, like.
Rocket Power is
they would
a good
do that
name.
When they would say hi to each other.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, so you watch this show, Joe?
Yes. It's 1999-2004. I was like 7 to 11 when that came out.
I want y'all to do like cheesy cartoon animations, like a little like one-footed like fist pump.
Sure. I'll see if Sam can get on.
Rocket
that.
Power! Like, do they have like superhero powers?
No.
Are they leaping through the sky?
No, they're just like skateboarders.
Yeah,
Kevin Durant.
You just read a 20-minute description. There's no superheroes in there.
You read for 5 minutes how it was punk rock culture.
I thought we were going to talk about Verlander, not a podcast name. I have ADHD, famously have ADHD. We know this by now. Number one, Rocket Power, because I loved the show as a kid. Number two, Inside the Icebox. Number three, Swarmcast. Should be Swarmcast, Eric the Buyer. Now, you don't know about compound words, Eric the Buyer. Let me teach you a thing. Rocket Power was live. Branham's an unk. Probably. I guess that's true. I am old. Fair enough. Maybe is Rocket Power a good name for the Rockets podcast that's airing on our station? 713-780-3776.
First episode I drops this week.
I knew I was old and busted. I didn't know I was old and busted because Rocket Power is outside of my references.
A cartoon that aired from 99 to 2004. Yes. I graduated high school in 03. I wasn't watching cartoons then.
Yeah.
That's me and Mabes. That's our wheelhouse.
Joe, that name is garbage. Should have named it the Red Rocket. Why can't we say that? Andy Dalton's nickname is the Red Rocket. Don't be a pervert, Joe. All right, do you want Justin Verlander back in Houston?
Yes, I do. With a huge caveat.
Do you think he likes the name Rocket Power?
I'll ask him.
All right, what's the caveat?
It can't be the only pitcher you add.
Do you read my tweets?
Sometimes.
I'm just kidding. I'm messing with you.
Usually I do. But it can't.
Is the honeymoon with Justin Verlander over? Is that tweet coming?
No. After his first start.
I tweeted that earlier today.
It's just it can't be your only move. You gotta add more than Justin Verlander to your rotation. It's a nice stopgap for this year, but you have a problem. You have to replace Fromber and Hunter Brown in like the next 3 years combined, right? Because once Hunter Brown a free agent in 2 years, You have to set up your rotation for the future. You can't just replace Fromber with an aging Verlander.
Yeah, no, we're simpatico on this. I have no problem with Verlander on a 1 year deal. I don't really want it to be past like $10 million, but again, that's their money. But at the same time, if we're operating with the idea that they're going to be at the competitive balance tax and not over it, the money does matter. Like if you sign him for $15 million as opposed to $10 million, well, that's $5 million that you're taking away from the roster if you're not going over the competitive balance tax. So I really don't want it for more than like $10 million, but I'm cool with him as a back end of the rotation starting pitcher. Like, he did finish the season pretty strong, and he still logged innings for the Giants. So I would be okay with it. But like you said, if he is the best starting pitcher that you acquire in the offseason, then that's a failure of an offseason.
Yeah, if your rotation next year is my dream of Hunter Brown, Freddie Peralta, Spencer Arrighetti, Justin Verlander, and insert fifth starter here, I'm great with that rotation next season.
Yeah.
If it's Dylan Cease, if Cease is after Hunter Brown, but you also add Verlander, I'm good with that. But I think adding just Justin Verlander, which to me would feel like that's what they would do, which is why I guess in the end I lean towards not liking it, just because my gut tells me it's the one move they would make.
Yeah, you're probably right. He shouldn't be your best starter, but if he's your second best starter, then cool, bet. All right, 713-780-3776, out to the HRP listener line. Ira, you're in with Jeremy and Joe. What's up, Ira?
Hey, guys, how's it going? Man, look, Justin Verlander, man, he's been a great pitcher, no doubt. I enjoy what he did when we first got him over here. But to me, at this point in his career, man, like, I don't know if he's just chasing stats. Maybe trying to cash one more check, but I don't feel as though even you talk about maybe him being a second tier of a starter. He hasn't proven in the last 2 or 3 years that he stays healthy enough to really depend on him in your rotation. Now, I called the AM guys a couple of years ago, and I was like, hey, why don't we make him a bullpen guy? And they were like, oh, hell no. You know, he makes too much money. You know, he's not there. But, man, he's on. Y'all trying to chase him to get the five innings.
Ira, who did you call about that? Who did you call about making Verlander a reliever? Who'd you say?
The morning guy.
Oh, the morning guy. I got you. I didn't hear you. My bad. Appreciate it, Ira. So you don't want Verlander back.
Yeah, no problem.
Appreciate the call. I hear where you're coming from, Ira. I don't think Verlander's stuff really plays in the bullpen anymore.
Yeah, I don't think he can get ready fast enough.
His first half last year in San Fran, he was 0-7 with a 4.70 ERA. In the second half of the season, he was 4-4 with a 2.99 ERA. So like that play, especially back into the rotation. I haven't looked at his baseball savant stuff, but you're not signing Verlander to be a reliever. But I think Ira's point is that he wouldn't sign Verlander at all. So on our board, little peek behind the curtain, intern takes the call, He'll put the name on the board, which he did a really good job actually spelling it phonetically, which thank you.
Helps
that helps. That really helps the talent, because talent's not very talented most of the time. And they don't say things right. So the phonetics was great. But he also tipped that Ira was a woman.
Yeah, I went and asked Jalen when we took the call. And he said, I thought it sounded like a woman. So he's taking the L on it.
Yeah. Congrats, Jalen.
Junkie of the day.
Ira's a woman. And went, hey, Ira, what's up? And it's definitely not a woman.
I'm glad you brought that up.
I
didn't hear the first minute and a half of Ira's call because I was laughing. I was distracted. I unplugged my headphones. So thanks for the call, Ira. Hope it was a good take.
What does unplugging your headphones do?
I couldn't
hear
it.
In that moment.
No, I yanked it out. I couldn't hear it.
But why did you yank it out?
Because it's just barely in there.
Oh, accidentally?
Yeah, I just moved my arm.
He was so overcome with laughter that he couldn't control it and yanked it out. Pause.
Well, that silence is me biting my tongue. 713-780-3776. Do you want Verlander in Houston? Also, the Astros have the fourth best odds to win the 26 World Series next year. Does that feel high to you? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
YouTube TV customers, get the sports you love on ESPN back, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Act now. Go to keepmynetworks.com to get ESPN back.
ESPN 97.5.